Now back to She Said, He Said with Kelly Lamb and Gordon Montgomery. Brought to you by Page Law on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. We did
Happy New Year almost here, 10:38, 590 The Fan, which She Said, He Said. Welcome back. And if you are just joining us, we've had some good time with all of the depressing stuff that Gordon wanted to bring in for the year ending at 2018, which makes you so thankful that it's ending. Our question of the day is, you want to go ahead and maybe turn off the show behind us?
I didn't know it was playing.
I'm like sitting there talking and Gordon's playing the show and it's echoing back
it's
everything I'm saying. I'm like, this
phone.
Is awesome.
Yeah, sorry.
So anyway, sorry. No more depressing stuff from Gordon. Fun stuff from here on out. We've got Ray Maxwell in the studio with Wild Wine Life, and he's bringing some of the wines and I think our champagnes for the new year. Are you going to be sabering today?
No.
He just had twins, so he's afraid that that would be dangerous. He probably has been without much. He hasn't had much sleep having twins, I'm sure of it. But we're going to talk about probably champagnes, maybe things for toasting for the new year. Kathleen's already having some fun with us in the studio. She'll be talking movies at 11 o'clock, and I'm assuming she's going to have a game for the end of the year
to
play.
We have a
big game. But she also brought the most amazing, Gordon has to get a picture of it, apple pie. Like you baked it for real. It's not store bought.
I baked it for real this morning. No.
It's beautiful.
That's like what I do for all of our friends and neighbors and all that fun stuff.
It looks like a Betty Crocker. Like it, the crust is
beautiful.
Oh, no.
It's a little brown this morning. Like I said, don't jump in the shower and throw pie in. I'm just going to throw that out there. Okay?
You must take a long shower.
I do. But information than we needed.
It looks absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
And then she brought us, it looks like we're going to go to the, have plenty of snacks for at the movies. We've got Junior Mints and Milk Duds. Those are my dad's favorite. Twizzlers are my favorite.
I know.
Gordon loves Junior Mints.
Uh-huh.
So
I remembered
thank you
that
so
too.
Much.
You're welcome.
Gordon was saying we need to go to the movies, so we'll have, I'll be that person bringing in the big purse. All my own stuff in it. Thank you very much. That was sweet of you.
We can't promote that. No.
So some of the people who put their words on, do you guys have your word for 2018 and your word for 2019? We have growth and inspire. Heather Hepson says stiff and unstiff. So I'm thinking maybe she's hoping to be. I'm not sure where to go with that. Frederick, there was Sunset Bluffs. He says consistency and then expansion for 2019. Rick, your buddy put yesterday, today. That was brilliant.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Lisa says young and old. She did just have a birthday, so she's probably feeling that. A little bit older. What else do we have? Awesome and excited. You know what I'm noticing? For the most part, there's a few, some that say challenging and then profitable. We've got awakened and opportunity. Oh, I'm sorry. That's actually a good one. There's very few that say something bad for 18 and then so hopeful for 2019. Most of them are pretty like, you know, focused and then positive. Winning, domination. They're really both, like I feel 2018 was not maybe a bad year for most. 2017, I do this question every year because I do a word every year. And I feel like last year, don't you remember? It seemed like everybody had a negative word for 2017 and then something they were so hopeful or expressing that they were wishing that 2018 would be a better year. Right. And this year, I don't see a lot of the negative beforehand. And I would have thought I would have because it was so political and people were just so, you know, crazy for a while that I was really surprised to see so much positive, which is awesome, actually. How'd you feel about 2018, Ray?
2018, I would say emotional. I found myself crying more in the delivery room than the babies did.
That's
and
true.
Then after baptism, once again, I cried more than the babies.
A lot of crying going on.
A lot of crying,
in your life.
Yeah, and it wasn't them. So I would say 2019, I would describe as exhausted.
Exhausted. So true. I think that mic we're having a little bit of difficulties with. It's kind of cutting it out. We might have to do a little switcheroony there or something. All right, we're going to swing around.
Oh, we're swinging all the way around?
We're swinging around my mic's
good. You keep yours, Kathleen.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So remember, your buttons that are in front of you aren't actually going to work on the mic you have if you need to turn it down. So, Gordon, there's no need to touch your volume anymore. It won't work.
Actually, the volume is for the headphones. It's not for the mic.
Oh, that's true. Oh, that's true.
Just keep talking, Cal.
Just keep talking. All right. So, Kathleen, what are your two words?
Oh, I think growth for 2018 in a multitude of ways. And inspiration for 2019.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's mm-hmm. a good one. All right. So Grover, he's going to have to wait because his mic was taken away. So what is, do you have words for 2018 and 19?
2018, I think, was learning. I learned a lot in 2018. So
true. That's really true.
And I think 2018 is Excel.
That's the same year, but that's okay.
I mean, 2019 Excel. 2019 Excel. Hey, it's still 2018.
Yes,
I still have time
to
Excel.
Well, my word for 2018 was relax. I was not very good at it whatsoever. So I'm going to have to try to carry that word with me and see if I can do that. And then really, I think 2019 is just for me to relax. No.
Chill
out a little bit. No, I think it should be love. I think there's, you know, needs to be some calmness. And I think you really see that, like, holiday can be really stressful because you have such high expectations because everything's supposed to be perfect and everything from you, what you bake to your family life, everything's just spoken. You're supposed to have all these traditions and then everybody lies on social media. So you think their life is better than yours.
Or you get called out for, is your life really that good? Yeah. That happens to me a lot. Yes.
So I think it can be difficult. And I'm kind of glad that we did a few other things this year and just did it, like going to the movies and doing that, because sometimes you're like, we got to do this, we got to do this, we got to do this, and you structure it all and things don't work out the way you want, or, you know, family or whatever. And I think you got to just go, okay, you just need to relax and just go into the new year and just, you know, one day at a time. But have with the intentions of, you know, continuing to succeed and continuing to help others, and, you know, you never stop growing. If you stop learning, and you stop doing something new to add to your life, you're just going to become stagnant and really a crabby person. It's going to show up on Facebook for sure. But I think that I'm not trying to put too much pressure on myself. Just chill out.
Chill.
Do you think it might be that as adults, we have these extremely fond memories growing up, and that we're trying to recapture a lot of that and maybe pass that on to our kids? And as children, we didn't see all the drama or all the difficulty in trying to create
of what they were going through.
That our parents went through.
True.
So in our minds, it's so much more stressful. It's like, well, I don't have that perfect Christmas like when I was a child. But the hope is that at least the kids appreciate the effort.
You know, that is such a great observation. I mean, because really, as a kid, even if things are haywire or you only got this for... It was still, you're so wrapped up to it, and it's such a magical time that you really do have that in you, no matter what might be going on in your family's life, because I'm sure crazy things were going in a lot of our parents' lives at that time and thinking the same way we do, you know, now. But then again, it was simpler, even though it may have been crazy still for our parents. It still was simpler. I mean, think about everything we have going on technology-wise and the way our work life is. I was talking to a young girl the other day. I was getting my nails done, and she's way younger than me. And I'm like, I think I was asking her if she opened New Year's Eve or New Year's Day or whatever. She goes, oh, yeah, they're open New Year's Day. I go, wow. And she goes, and I said, I remember a day when everything was closed on Sunday. Mm-hmm. You couldn't go to the mall. No. You didn't do anything on Sunday. Now, as a kid, I was out playing.
You spent time with your family on Sunday.
Right. Right. No, I was out riding my bike with my friends. I wouldn't say I wanted to hang around with my mom and dad. But you were home and you had dinner or whatever, but you didn't have to do anything. Nothing was open to do it. And now we're so pressured 24 hours a day to be open and on. And I think it could be more stressful, and there's more to do. I mean, your kids want to do everything, you know, where there wasn't as much to do as well. so easy. I think there's more stress, even though.
Information overload.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Yes.
I was just thinking about social media. If my dad was on social media, or my mom could have been, you know, when we were kids. Just think, I mean, I'm wondering if I would have been, like, totally annoyed with my parents being on social media, you know?
And parents are on social media.
No, I mean, today, but
for
yeah.
For God's sakes, we can't...
They wouldn't have been when we were kids.
Say one word without getting the picture taken, driving down the road, putting the camera backwards. Oh, my God, they're so cute in the car seat right now.
Right.
Let me endanger your life and get this shot. So it is a different world. But I think, though, in a way, though, that it is absolutely, like, 90% true. Our memories of Christmas are so exciting as a kid, and then you get older and you're still trying to make it exciting or make it exciting for your child, and it's kind of, and then, you know, maybe one of your children isn't cooperating quite well and they ruin your Christmas.
Well, you could always do the famous Sicilian mother curse, which is what my mom did to me. But I point out to her that she's also harming my, you know, the spouse when she does that. Or I should have said that, but she used to say, I hope when you grow up and children, you have one just like you.
That's so awful, isn't it? That is every parent's
At the time, you thought it was a good thing she was saying.
Well, I was talking to a couple the other day, and we were talking kids stuff and everything like that, and she was talking about, you know, her daughter and, oh, gosh, you know, the headaches of teenagers and that. And then I said, how are you as a teenager? She goes, oh, my gosh, I was bad. Like, see, you're just getting it back. That's all it is. But I do hope that everybody had a Merry Christmas. And I think that we do need to chill out. And we have to – I think that's part of the problem, especially with the younger generation. Expectations – and when I don't mean children, expectations are so high. They expect so much that you're always continually letting them down then. Even though you're doing so much, the expectations are so high. And then we set such high expectations for ourselves that we can't achieve. And then – we all end up in counseling.
Well, when we were growing up, I don't remember the term FOMO being anywhere. Do you
What's
know what
FOMO?
That means?
No.
Fear of missing out.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. And wow. Everyone has that fear now.
So
you
they
know?
Scroll Facebook for yes. 3 hours. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
You know, and I think that we really need to, she's going to learn how to chillax is the word.
Chillax.
Miss she's going to learn how to chillax.
Miss out on what's in front of you.
Exactly.
Right. Enjoy
exactly.
the moment like we talked about last time.
Yeah.
Enjoy the moment that you're in. You know, we said that. I said that on the way here. It's funny we're talking about this because I said on the way here, I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me, and that's fine.
I don't think so.
But I think the worst thing that ever happened to our society is the internet. I think it's the worst thing that's ever happened. I wish it would go away and never come back because I think that it's the problem because of suicides, what we talked about just now. People see all the things that they think they should have and they don't have that. Or people talk about someone on social media and just destroys them. And not only that, we talked about Sears closing. We saw the news the other night that more Sears stores are closing and Kmart's are closing. Because, you know, Amazon is taking over. I mean, it's a monopoly almost, and you're not supposed to have monopolies. It's supposed to be against the law, but Amazon's kind of controls everything. Everybody shops on Amazon and steals from all these other businesses, and they're only going to a few select internet businesses to buy all their stuff. And it's really hurt us as far as our businesses, our mom and pop stores. It's hurt us as far as the way we look at each other, the way we feel about ourselves. I think it's the worst thing that's ever happened.
I would call it the internet more like dynamite. I mean, if you look at what Nobel invented, he tried to create something safe as an alternative to, I think, nitroglycerin. But he was appalled that it was used for such horrible means of war. You could say the internet's the same thing. Think of the research, the communications, and all the wonderful
great things
out
we
of
have.
It, mm-hmm. But there's also all the negatives
that
it's
comes
a
along
tool
with
in
it.
Which how you use it. And
I think that's the key. It's a tool, and there hasn't been any right way or rules set with it. So anything goes and anything's going on it, and it's getting our hands on things that really aren't needed, you know, to have. Just like even the movies. I mean, you went to the movies. Now,
right,
you know.
Right.
But we survived just fine, and we're actually exceptional people, I think, our age group. Without the internet, we got by just fine because we didn't know anything about it. So we got by just fine.
Michelle wouldn't be able to listen to us all the way over in Australia, though,
true.
Right now without
that's
the internet.
That's right.
But well, you're right. I mean, it's a tool that's been misused and not guided properly.
I was just going to say, you know, like movies is a perfect example. I mean, the younger generation, my 18, almost 19-year-old, literally lives on that computer. She doesn't want to go to a movie theater. She doesn't want to step out of her room. She has that screen in front of her, and they just scroll through Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime or whatever.
Right.
And they can access everything they want. And I really think it's becoming a social issue as well.
Well, remember when you used to play outside when you were a kid? Like I just said, Sundays, I was on my bike or riding my horse. I mean, I was not inside whatsoever watching the four channels that we had on TV. Right. But and Carly was saying last, I don't know if you were upstairs or not, and Carly was saying that Brody, he comes home from school and he goes right for the PlayStation or whatever it is, and then he hooks up with all his friends. They're playing together,
right,
and they just sit literally for hours playing games rather than going
out
playing football.
So now you have five kids not doing anything, sitting inside, playing video games.
Playing the game.
And they don't even have to be in the same room.
A good thing and a bad thing about the internet would be, in regard
like he brings
to
the
movies,
positive back in.
Right.
In regard to movies, is that not going to the theater, your children are missing out on the fun of the candy and getting lost.
$5 box
theater.
Of milk.
I mean, just sitting in a dark theater with the giant screen and just getting lost in that movie experience, that magical release. But the positive is that the internet allows people to launch something that they're not beholden to a studio or one person or a small group
true.
Of people.
Like Wild Wine Life.
That, right. Mm-hmm. That decides what we're going to see and how we're going to see it. That if they can build enough of a following, they can bypass the big agopolies in Hollywood or New York and create something on their own.
You used to have to go knocking on doors, door to door, to hand your cassette tape to get someone to listen to your song.
Right.
There is, it is a wonderful tool. It is. It's just been really misused and it's not protected. You know, just like all of our bank accounts and things that are getting, you know, hacked into because they launched this amazing product that they weren't ready for to really guide it the proper way so that we don't get hurt in the process of it.
But then
we
watch all these shows like Walking Dead and Apocalypses and all these kind of things.
I love
where
them.
No, honestly, if the computer age, internet, all that stuff shut down, what will we do?
Yeah,
where would we be? We couldn't get in our bank accounts. We couldn't do this. We couldn't do that.
I was lost at Breadco. I didn't know what time it was. I didn't have my phone or anything with me. I couldn't text you guys, but... Well, before we do get to the top of the hour, and we have plenty of time because you guys are going to stick around, not going anywhere, why don't you take us into a happy place? This has been one depressing show. That's all I can say.
No, it hasn't. No, I think it's great. I think it's great we talk about it.
Don't you like how she looks right at Gordon when she says that?
Lisa,
one depressing
she always
show.
Says I'm depressing. Whatever.
I do not
it's all how you look at
that.
It.
You've been depressing.
Lisa
today.
Says bring back the drive-ins.
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
we're doing that.
I saw Mary Poppins.
Which Lisa?
Yes.
And Bedknobs and Broomsticks at the drive-in.
Oh,
yes, as a double feature, correct? Yeah. Yes, I remember.
Oh my gosh, that was so much fun. And what was it, like $1.50 to drive a car in and then you had people hiding in the trunk? No, $1 a person, I think, is what it was, right, in the car?
We actually went on our anniversary a year ago. We went to a drive-in theater.
In Kansas City.
Kansas City. It was pretty cool.
Well, and we've talked about over the last year, which we are doing this summer, going to the Skyview Drive-In in Belleville.
We should have a big She Said, He Said party there and do a big drive-in thing. And
Movie night.
We'll tailgate or
she
whatever.
She Said, He Said movie night.
That's where you go.
So let's get into some cocktails before the top of the hour, and then we'll come into it and we'll have some fun. We'll play the game
we'll
and talk about
new
champagne.
We'll go out of the hour and come into the hour with alcohol, right?
Some way to start the year.
Yay.
Well,
I just spit all over the mic with that when I got so excited.
Well, the first one we're starting off with is Vega Medellin Cava.
What? I don't understand.
Cava is Spanish sparkling.
Okay.
So it's made in the same way that they would make champagne, where they take it from a still wine to a sparkling wine inside the bottle. The thing I absolutely love about it is that there's some wonderful, wonderful cavas out there that are $8 to $12 a bottle. You know, this one's about $10 to $11 a bottle. So if you don't want to drop that $30, $40, $50, $60 for a bottle of champagne, but you like the bubbles, and you want something that has a little bit more finer bubbles and a little bit more of that yeasty taste as opposed to Prosecco, go with some Spanish cava.
Okay.
And like you and I said, you don't need a special occasion to drink bubbles. It goes with everything.
Is that what we have right here?
That's what you have right now.
So do we want to remember the word cava?
Cava.
Okay.
And there's a lot of cavas out there.
It would go great with a piece of apple pie.
Do you want me to cut it up here, Cal? I'll be more than happy to serve it up.
I think we all need to taste it.
Nothing's more exciting on radio than someone eating and drinking.
There you go.
Radio.
There you go.
But
that's very good, by the way.
Yeah.
That's really good.
And you, I mean, if you're going to spend 10, 11 bucks on a bottle of wine, why not go with a nice little bottle of cava?
Yeah, and that's really good.
I think it's absolutely delicious and fun. And there's a lot of big names out there that, you know, you could call the big houses of mass production or some of the smaller ones like this one. But just find one that you like, and they're really wonderful wines. And it's a great value, and you don't have to spend a lot for sparkling.
Perfect. I like that. So you pour, so give us one more before we go to break.
Okay. So champagne.
Okay.
Champagne.
Okay, so let's get some. I know that probably I'm not the only one out there that says, okay, what's the difference between cava, a sparkling wine, and champagne? To me, they both have bubbles. What's the difference?
Okay, so they both have bubbles. The difference is cava is Spanish. Champagne's from the Champagne region of France. Now, a lot of the regions such as Alsace, Loire, and other areas will make a sparkling wine in the champagne method or method traditional, but they can't call it champagne since it's from the Champagne region. This one is what they call farmer fizz. Farmer fizz.
Well, that's a hot seller. Oh, shoot. Okay.
Well, why don't we come back
to farmer fizz? Hold that thought on farmer fizz. Yeah.
You don't want to miss this, folks. We're going to be coming back with Farmer Fizz.
Farmer Fizz and some apple pie.
Well, let me pour this.
I like diamonds, I like stunning, I like shining, I like $1 million deals, where's my pen, bitch, I'm signing, I like those Balenciagas, the ones that look like Saturn.